Jesus seemed to never, ever be sick, not to have any type of physical malady ever. Magdalene was also privileged with good health and not to be ill or have any maladies. We must remember that the Hebrew communities were very much ahead of the world as far as hygiene was concerned. That's why they survived the plagues in Europe, and many thought the reason they did was because they were in league with the devil. The Judaic people believed in cleanliness and in not eating pork, rightly so, because at that time swine carried so much disease. We know now not to even eat half-done pork, because it causes trichinosis or even tuberculosis. As Jesus traveled and socialized, he also, as we know, healed and taught. My guide said that only major points of major sermons were recorded, but she said he talked to huge groups and multitudes at least 4 days or nights a week. Sometimes his sermons would last hours, and sometimes he did two a day. He usually did not preach on the Sabbath, except in the occasional synagogue, and that was probably due to his Judaic upbringing and obedience to old rabbinic laws. 3 years might not seem like a long time, but with this kind of schedule, Jesus literally reached thousands of people. Francine said he spoke a beautiful sermon about marriage and children and the sanctity of the female, but it was not transcribed. We can't blame this omission on the church, for the original scribes who had a Judaic background and archaic beliefs concerning women just chose not to write it down. I feel it's because old norms or religious teachings die hard. We have to take into consideration that even though they were disciples, they still had been raised with Judaic law that, as we read in the Old Testament, treated women as less than nothing. Old teachings put forth that women were made to work, be quiet, give birth, and wait on their husbands. So a sermon about the equality of women, I feel, was purposefully not taken down and transcribed. The disciples of Christ, in more than one instance, show great jealousy toward Mary Magdalene. In the Gospel of Philip, a Gnostic gospel that is not included as canon in the Bible, it says, "As for the wisdom who is called the barren, she is the mother of the angels, and the companion to the Savior is Mary Magdalene. But Christ loved her more than all the disciples and used to kiss her often on her mouth." The rest of the disciples were offended by it and expressed disapproval. They said to him, "Why do you love her more than all of us?" The Savior answered and said to them, "Why do I not love you like her?" Now, to be fair, a portion of this gospel is missing just at the point where "on her mouth" is. And that translation of these three words is a scholarly best guess or assumption. Francine says it does say "mouth," and that the actual three words were "on the mouth." Even though scholars say people exchanged kisses frequently in that day and age, Judas betraying Christ with a kiss, etc., the jealousy part should give us pause to consider. You are only jealous of someone who is shown favoritism, as she was undoubtedly shown. Jesus confided in her, loved her, and he wanted her to carry on his church, not Peter, as the Bible says. Jesus felt Peter was good, but in many ways adult. We must remember that Peter was a poor fisherman who had hardly any education. Most of us are acquainted with Christ supposedly saying that Peter was a rock and that he would build his church upon it. Matthew 16:18. Francine says this is erroneous, and that it was a case of the humor of Jesus manifesting itself when he actually said, tongue in cheek, "Why would I build my philosophy on you, Peter? You have no more courage or charisma than a rock." I had always wondered, before I heard Francine's translation, why Christ would use a rock to define Peter, especially when you realize he predicted accurately before his crucifixion that Peter would deny him 3 times before the cock would crow, which came to pass, according to the Bible.